Friday's economic numbers seemed like a slam dunk. My goodness, all week long, we'd been seeing these glowing reports. The private sector ADP jobs report took off. Construction spending was stronger than expected. Jobless claims were, you know, an acceptable level. The Consumer Comfort Index put together by Bloomberg hit a 16-year high. Then all of a sudden, you look at a big miss and non-farm payrolls and average hourly earnings and factory orders, and I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's an aberration. I know who does know. Robert Dye is the chief economist for Comerica, and Dr. Dye joins us right now. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
Well, thank you, Dave. Good to be here.
Thank you. So what happened Friday? Everybody said, whispering and said, well, maybe we're going to have a 3.9% unemployment rate.
I think what happened Friday is that expectations were so high and perhaps unrealistically high that we just got a normal number on the jobs report for December. 148,000, that's great. I mean, nothing wrong with that at all. It's just that it follows on the heels of that very strong ADP employment report we got last Thursday. That was plus 250. And so expectations really went to the moon for Friday. And, you know, I look at that jobs report, and I don't see anything wrong with it, and I think it's just about exactly where it needs to be.
You know, and the other argument is that it may well be a problem. We've seen so much prosperity that all of a sudden, you know, you're running out of people to fill the jobs.
Well, that's exactly right, and especially as we get late in the business cycle, we start to see that unemployment rate tighten up. Now, we've had 3 consecutive months at 4.1%, but that's going to go down even more. We're going to break below 4 here, getting the high 3s before the end of 2018, maybe even by mid-year.
I've always been told you approach 3.5 or something, you're at full employment.
Well, you know, you're getting into that frictional level where you can't find somebody, even though the numbers say there's somebody out there looking for a job. If you're trying to hire somebody at below 4% unemployment rate, you know, there isn't a guy or a gal sitting on the sidewalk waiting to come to work. You've got to raid another company. And what happens then is you start to bid the wages up. And that's what the Federal Reserve is concerned about, is low unemployment rate leading to higher wages. Now, so far, we haven't seen that much of it, and we're sort of waiting and waiting and waiting, and that's what the Fed is doing, is they're waiting and saying, okay, it's going to happen, and so we need to get ahead of this and start increasing interest rates.
The other concern I've heard, and actually it's a corollary to this, I guess, is the foreign pool that in some cases are educated here but not allowed to work here. And by the same token, we've seen, you know, tightening on in-migration to fill jobs.
Yes, that's a part of it. That's part of the constraint on labor force growth. Of course, it has to do with overall population growth, which is weak. It has to do with the movement of women into the labor force, which was such a big phenomenon in the 70s and 80s, and that's really played out. And so that's not giving us more labor force growth at this point. And so we do have a constraint there, and that is a fundamental constraint on the capacity of the economy to grow in terms of, you know, that labor force constraint.
You know, you cover all of Comerica's territories. Obviously, you cover the entire United States. But we've seen this migration from one of your areas, California, that's coming into Texas. And some feel like it's going to be increased after the tax bill because you can't write that off. But does this encourage movement?
I think it does on the margin, because one, and this is actually an area that I worked on with my dissertation 100 years ago, was looking at relative costs of doing business, and California is a high-cost state, and that tends to push low-value manufacturing and low-value-added industries out of the state and towards cheaper areas like Texas. And now with tax reform, and you have the restriction on state and local property tax deductions, which makes California even relatively more expensive now since those deductions are restricted, I think you're right. I think that's just one more straw. You know, it's not going to release the floodgate, but it's one more straw on the camel's back. If you're in California, if you have a business, and you say, gee, my costs are going up, my employment costs are going up, and now my workers need more money because, you know, they can't deduct their local and regional taxes. One more straw on the camel's back, pushing some companies out of the state toward lower cost areas.
You know, they're not going to come here unless they can, you know, unless they're people that they can hire. And one of the arguments I heard recently, and it really struck me, was that workers are somewhat less mobile than they used to be because there's so many two-income families that both individuals have to find jobs if they relocate.
That's absolutely right. And another issue is their ability to sell their house and buy a new one. And, you know, housing markets have gotten fairly sticky compared to where they were, say, in 2004, 2005. That in and of itself, it's not such a bad thing, but it's just a lot more difficult now to pick up stakes and move. And then you also have the general aging of the population. So you have older workers with more roots in their communities, and they're a little bit less willing to sort of pick up everything and throw it in a box and move across the country for a new job.
So everybody's putting out their prognostications for 2018. I would argue that few people are more entitled to that than you, because you keep winning awards for accurately predicting the future. So what do you see the future? How's the year look?
Yeah, I think 2018 is going to be a good year. I mean, we're seeing, as you started out by saying, we're seeing a lot of very positive economic metrics. I think that positive momentum will continue into the first quarter. We'll build on that. But, you know, especially early in the year, we tend to forget how long a year is. And I think all these positive metrics will probably get us through the first half of the year. But by the second half of the year, I mean, we really have to allow for other things to happen. I hope the growth continues, but, you know, it's a long way to get through a year. And you know, in this global environment and the political landscape, we'll have to see what happens in the second half of the year.
You know, I get my definition of black swan as something you didn't know existed, so it has to be a blindside. But is there anything out there? I mean, North Korea, I don't know, would be a black swan, but is that the kind of thing that could derail us?
Well, you know, if what we look for is, where do we see imbalances? Because time does not cause recessions, but time allows imbalances to build up, and the corrections from those cause recessions. And one thing you can look at is stock market prices. You know, we've been on a run here. Everyone knows that. And maybe that run continues at some point, and we don't know when. The market will correct. It always does. And a stock market correction is often a tripwire heading into the next recession. Another tripwire on the financial market side may come from a sort of a bond market reset, especially in Asia. There's a whole lot of debt building up in Asia. It's a high growth area, and a lot of that growth has been built up from debt accumulation. That could, those chickens could come home to roost. So, you know, the numbers are looking good out there now, but this is not clear sailing forever. This is an economy that's, you know, been running a long time, and balances are starting to build up, and sooner or later we'll have another recession. We haven't repealed the business cycle yet.
Thank you for adding that, because bull markets climb a wall of worry, and I think we need a little worry right now. Robert A. Dye is the chief economist for Comerica. It's always good to have you with us, sir. Have a great 2018.
Yeah, and thank you, Dave, and you too.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.